So the first thing we're going to do is, first of all, most of you know who I am, Father Broom. This is Mr. Paul Gastelum. He'll be my helper during the course of this year. And what we'll do, in this first class, we're going to pass out the syllabus so that we know where we're heading. So you'll take this syllabus and we'll read through it and you'll have a pretty clear idea as to where we're heading this week and this year. In the end of class, you'll get a syllabus as to what is the content of what we're going to be studying. Then parent classes for your mom and dad to come to keep learning. One for you too. Okay, good. So, let's read and we'll explain it. See the very top of the sheet? You see a church with a cross on the top of it. Churches, parishes have a name, and the name of our parish is St. Peter Chanel. Okay? And this is our parish, and also you can see the very below that you see a little line that says where we are located, but also staffed by the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. That would be the priests for the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. You can see in Latin, Maria Cogita, Maria Invoca, which means to think about Mary and to invoke Mary's name. Okay, syllabus, year 2017-2018. So we give the welcome to our program, Confirmation Program at St. Peter Chanel. This program takes 2 years. So the first year is during the week, and the second year is on Sunday morning. So that means next year you guys are going to be coming Sunday morning, and you'll have both your class and the Mass. And as for students preparing to receive the sacrament of confirmation, someone who has already received the sacrament of confirmation as a child is most welcome to participate as well. Anyone for the ages of 13 or has begun 8th grade until the age of 16 may attend. So we've got a series of requests that we are addressing to the parents and the students. Okay, so the classes, your classes are going to be on, we've got Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Your class is going to be on Thursday, obviously. And we have the class from 4:50 to 6:05. So we want to ask you to be punctual. You know what punctual means? It means why don't you be on time, because we really don't have too much time to learn about God. In all the classes that you have, school or extracurricular activity, this is the most important, because this class that you're coming to is a class in which you're coming to learn about God. And you know, the math is important, reading is important, English is important, writing is important. Everything you're studying in school is important. But this is most important because this is going to be teaching you how to really get to know and love God and to get to heaven. And that's really why we're here. We're here in this life, which is a very short life. We're here, we're going to be learning this next week. We're here to get to know God, to love God, and to serve God, so to be happy with God forever in heaven. So see this class every week as the most important class every week. Yeah? Is that clear?
Yes.
Very, very important. And, you know, you take this seriously and you'll be punctual. Now, if something's important, we're punctual. You know, I was in high school, I played varsity baseball, and if I arrived 1 minute late, I'd be benched. 1 minute late. And my coach was really strict. I never arrived 1 minute late because I didn't want to be a bench warmer. I wanted to play. So baseball I like, But God is more important than baseball. Right? Baseball, I love baseball, great sport. But you can't say baseball is more important than God. Even if you hit 50 grand slams every year for 20 years, that's still not going to get you into heaven. What's going to get us into heaven is to get to know and love God. That'll help us to get into heaven. Right? Know and love God, that'll get us into heaven. Then we're going to be in heaven forever. Because heaven is forever and ever and ever. And life is short, but heaven is forever and ever and ever. Do you want to go to heaven?
Yes.
What do you think heaven is like? Peaceful? What do you think? Own room and not going to be bothered with your brother sleeping on the top of the bunk bed? No? No noise? No? It's a place where there's going to be peace and joy and tranquility, and there's going to be a lot of light. Everyone is going to be friends. God is going to be your best friend. Mary is going to be your mother. You're going to have the angels there. You don't have to go to bed at a certain time. You don't get tired. You don't have to go to doctors. No problems with health. No. What?
Don't get sick,
right? Don't have to work, maybe 12 or 13 hours a day, and you're barely able to pay the rent. No. So it's where we should want to go. And that's really the purpose of confirmation, is to prepare us to really live a good life, loving God, so that when God calls us, we're able to go to heaven. Right, Paul? Yeah. So we want you to be punctual. So ask your parents, you have to ask your parents to drop you off 10 minutes before the scheduled time of the classes. So this is your first class, September 14th. No more than 6 absences are permitted. Well, really shouldn't even be written that, but if you want to be legalistic, you miss six classes, you're out. But you should try to come, or make the decision you're going to come to class every week. And in total, there are really not too many classes. It's only about, 24, 25 classes. Then we've got Mass once a month. So really, in total, there are really not that many classes. So you're missing a class, and you're going to be missing a lot of important information about God that's going to help you to really live good lives. Okay, next. There are also Saturday activities. So if you cannot make it to class, we ask that the parents call the CCD office in advance to let us know. And the parent writes a note explaining the absence to be given to the teacher the following week. All right, now, every week, this is what the student is going to bring. Okay, this is going to change a little bit, because we're going to have a new catechism book this year. Do you have it there? Have that binder, Paul? Can I just going to show it to them? Okay, what we plan to do is this. Every week, we're going to be giving you this. How about that? Attractive, huh? In the background, you have the stained glass window of St. Peter Chanel. Then you have that image of Jesus. You were just praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. That's an image of the merciful Jesus. You see those two rays that are coming out of his heart. Those are the rays of the white would be baptism. The red would be the body and blood of Christ, which is Holy Communion. Now on the left, you have Our Lady Guadalupe. You all have heard of Our Lady Guadalupe, right? Now in the middle, anyone know what's in the middle? Never see anything like that before? What's that? a monstrance. And that's a monstrance. It kind of looks like a sun, and from which is emanating these rays. But in the very middle, there's a circular, there's a white circle in the very middle of the monstrance. Know what that is? It's the Eucharist. So that, the Eucharist means Holy Communion, so that myself as a priest, when I lift up the host, that host turns into the body and blood of Christ. And then what we do is, we put it there in the middle of the monstrance, and we place it on the altar, and at the end of this class, we're going to be going and we're going to be visiting the church, and there in the church, right on the altar, in the center of the altar, you're going to see the monstrance. And on one side you have a candelabra. You got three candles which are ascending toward the monstrance. So that's Jesus Christ. So here, and then at the very, at the back of this binder, you have that bird. Who do you think that bird is? It's a symbol. Okay, and we're going to be learning about this. In God, how many persons in God? Do you know?
Three.
Who are they?
Father, Son,
and Holy Spirit. Okay, so that bird or that dove symbolizes who?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. So there you have the dove symbolizes the Holy Spirit. How about those drops? Look like they're red drops. No, close. It'd be the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so there you have the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's red and fire because when the apostles were praying for 9 days and nine nights, the first novena, the Holy Spirit descended upon them in tongues of fire. That was the first Pentecost. So they had these tongues of fire on the top of their heads, and then the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out and they preached the Word of God to the whole world, the apostles. So we're going to be giving you this binder, and each week we'll be giving you a worksheet. Okay, so the worksheet, this will be the first worksheet we're going to be giving you. This worksheet, we'll hand it out, and we'll be giving you a pencil, and we're going to be going through questions and what you're going to be filling in the answers. And at the end, you'll put it in your binder, and Paul, with your help, you'll be able to write down their names on the top of it. And then you're going to be giving to my helper, Paul Gastelon. He's going to be giving you the binder. We're going to be giving this to you each week. The reason why we do this is because we've had textbooks in the past. And guess what happens after the first week? Lose it, or they forget to bring it. So if they forget to bring, what's the purpose of giving the book if they never bring it to class? So we're just going to be giving you the worksheet, your binder, and then he'll hold on to it for a week. And then eventually we're going to have to study this and have some type of test to make sure that you guys are understanding the basics. Okay? Is that clear?
Yep.
Good. So this is a really good binder that was made by Elvira. Okay? Let's go back to our worksheet. Whether our syllabus. Okay, so you're going to have to bring also a rosary, a pen, or a pencil. So what we'll do normally, Paul, is we'll give you a rosary, and then at the end of the class, or after you finish the rosary, you can pass it from left to right, and you can just collect the rosaries. Do all of you have your own rosary? If you want, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I always carry my own rosary in my pocket. I usually pray three rosaries every day, so I just carry my own rosary. You all have pockets? I would just think, even though, you know, you're a teenager, you're not priests or nuns, but I would carry the rosary in your pocket. You got space there? You got a frog, a toad, and then the other one, probably some free space, right? No? I would just carry it in your pocket. I always like to have my rosary, I like to have my scapular, and I'm consecrated to the Blessed Mother. So this is, I'm walking hand in hand with the Blessed Mother. And I got the scapular, she's protecting me. We're living in a world with a lot of dangers out there. We want to be protected by the Blessed Mother. So you might even just carry a rosary in your pocket and always have the rosary with you. So you're walking hand in hand with the Blessed Mother. Santa Maria del Camino, if I understand Spanish. Santa Maria del Camino. Habla español? You guys speak a little bit of Spanish?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now I wonder, do you guys know how to pray in English? I mean, don't feel embarrassed, no? Don't feel embarrassed if you don't know how to pray in English. Because what happened is probably your mom and dad, they speak Spanish, more Spanish at home than English, right? And well, your mom and dad go to Mass, or do they go to Mass in Spanish or English? Okay, probably a lot of your parents prefer Spanish because that was their first language, right? However, were you guys born here?
Yes.
So if you're born here, then you should know how to pray in Spanish because that's the language of your parents, but you should know English because that's the language that they speak in this country. So knowing both of those, the prayers in both languages is very, very important. Right, Paul?
Yeah.
You keep repeating the prayers over and over again, what you're going to be doing, repeating but trying to think about the words in time. You know, I had an interesting experience. I was on vacation last week. I was with my mom and a lot of my siblings. And I visited one of my sisters. I'm one of nine. One of my sisters has eight children and lives on a farm in New Jersey. And she's got one that's four, eight, twins that are 11, and a girl that's 14, and a boy that's 16, and another boy that's 18, and the oldest is 20. So it's from 20 all the way to 4, you know? So after visiting her farm, and she provided us a really good meal, me and my mom, we went into the living room, and we prayed the rosary. And the first one that led the rosary was one of my, I think it was my niece that was about, she was about 15. She really prayed it well. She's a couple years older than you. But then right after that, little Colette, my niece who's only 4 years old, said, "I want to pray the rosary." And I was saying, "Oh, let's see this. She's not going to be, only 4 years old, she can't pray the rosary." Prayed it perfectly. 4 years old. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hail Mary, full of grace." He said it perfectly. And my sister was telling me that she never taught the girl, but she was just listening to the family pray it, and after about three or four times, the four-year-old girl already knows how to pray the rosary.
Wow. That's how my son Jacob did it.
Yeah. Now let me tell you this. 3 years ago, I went to Florida where they had Hurricane Irma, but that was before Irma, no? And I was visiting another group of my siblings. And one of my siblings, I'm his godfather, and he's the oldest nephew, who's now about 33. He's got three kids, and his oldest son was two. He prayed the Creed, the Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be. 2 years old. He turned three when I was there. Okay, so I have to admit that. So we'll say that he was three. But he's able to pray the Creed? And I didn't believe that. I don't think I knew it when I was six, no? And I'm a priest. But it just goes to show that if you really want to learn, and you got good parents, and you collaborate, you can learn. So I hope, Paul, at the end of the year, they all know how to pray the rosary, okay?
I hope so.
Hopefully at the end of the year, okay? So, you know, if a little four-year-old can learn, you guys can learn it too, right? And I'm not saying it to embarrass you, but we have to make a little bit of an effort to try to learn our faith. We have to work at it, no? They say in athletes, no pain, no gain, right? No pain, no gain. If you don't really work at it, then you're not going to be able to accomplish great actions. All right. Next. And Paul is going to, all he's going to be asking you, did you go to Mass on Sunday? Now, do you guys, do you go to Mass on Sunday?
Yes.
All of you go to Mass on Sunday? Sometime? Yes? Yes? Sometimes? A little bit? Half the time? Go to Mass on Sunday? Oh, sad. Okay. You go every Sunday? Okay.
Every day?
Every day?
Except for Friday.
Great. Are you an altar server too? Great. Do you go to Mass? Mass? Not bad. Okay, you guys that go sometime, make sure that you try to make it, okay? You have to tell your parents, look, we got to go to Mass on Sunday. But that's pretty good. And if you can go to daily Mass, that's even... Do you like to go to daily Mass? How do you feel afterward?
I feel
okay. Okay. What do you go in the morning or the evening?
In the evening.
You go with your parents?
Yeah.
So mom and dad go?
Yeah, and my siblings.
And your siblings too? Oh, that's great. Wonderful. You come to this church or you go to another church? This church?
Another
church. Where do you go?
Are they
from Mars? That's in Montebello?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Do you go to daily Mass?
Yes.
So do I. Mm-hmm. I go to Mass every day. I say Mass every day. Yeah. I mean, if you really think about it, Mass, what's the most important part of Mass? What do you think? Yeah. I know what you're going to say, when the priest says the Mass is ended, go in peace. Is that what you're going to say? No, no, yeah. No, I'm just joking around.
Liturgy of the Eucharist.
Liturgy of the Eucharist. What is the Eucharist? See, remember those four words? The body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. So every time you receive Holy Communion, you receive God, which is the greatest gift in the whole world. Yeah. So your whole family goes, right? That's great. Very good. Keep it up. I should ask this question. How many of you here in this class are sinners? How many are sinners? You're not a sinner? You? Kind of? No? Okay, so you're all sinners. So how do we get rid of our sins? We just say, God, I'm sorry, and then that's it?
Go to confession.
So you can go to confession to your father? Your older brother? You have to go to the priest. So we hope that every, at least once a month, you should try to go to confession, at least once a month. If not more frequently, right? Once a month, at least. You know, Paul, I go to confession probably every 2 weeks. And I really feel good. I go to another priest. Probably thought, well, a priest, he can maybe just go and confess his sins in the mirror and allow... I'm going to go to confession in the mirror, and when I go like this, I'm getting absolution, right? No? No, it doesn't work that way. We have to go to another priest. But I don't know about you guys, I feel really good afterward. Sometimes I'm afraid that maybe the priest is going to get angry at me, but he never gets angry at me. See, every time I go to a priest, the priest is really kind, and he's loving, and he's gentle, and the penance he gives me is very small. So, you know, priests, we're here to help you out. But going to confession frequently is really very, very helpful. I said in my class this morning that we should try to always live with our conscience at peace, with a pure conscience. You know what I mean? Is that, you know, you don't have anything in your conscience that's bothering you. If you're living with that, you really live well. And you live with a lot of peace. But you have your conscience bothering you, and you start to become nervous, and you become worried, you become agitated, and then you're not at peace, and you end up by getting in fights, and you're impatient, and often, you know, a dirty and tranquil conscience reflects itself in bad actions. No? So These are beautiful words. I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good words, right? I didn't give you absolution, okay? You know, I could do that. General absolution. If the plane is going down, I could tell other people on JetBlue, by the way, the plane is crashing right now. I'll give all of you general absolution. Tell God you're sorry. And I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But if the plane doesn't go down, they still have to go to confession to the priest individually. The plane doesn't go down.
You can say if the soldiers were on the battlefield too, right?
Yes. Yeah, soldier in the battlefield or an airplane, when there's an emergency, we can give what is called general absolution. But if the persons don't die, individually. Okay, so that's part of our program, is we make sure that you guys have recourse to confession at least once a month. Daily prayers. Prayers. What's prayer? What's prayer anyway? What do you think prayer is?
It's when you talk to God.
Talk to God. So is the Our Father a prayer?
Yes.
How about the Hail Mary?
Yes.
How about the Glory Be?
Yes.
How about the Act of Contrition?
Yes.
But can you pray in your own words?
Yes.
No, prayer that I often say is, God help me. That's a pretty good prayer. SOS, no? God help me. Nothing wrong with that.
St. Peter said.
Yeah, St. Peter was sinking in the waves. He was walking in the water. All of a sudden, a huge wave. Ah, Lord, help me. And the Lord said, man of little faith. And he stretched out his hand, grabbed his hand, and he was able to walk in the water. Powerful prayer, huh? So you can pray in your own words. You can pray with the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be. Formal prayers. We'll have to pray. Now, if you guys pray well, you're all going to get to heaven. You will. If you pray well in this life, you're all going to get to heaven. But if you give up prayer, then the devil gets in there, and the devil is going to pull you down the wrong path. So you have to make sure that you really try to pray well. And sometimes you even have to pray when you don't feel like it. Okay? You might feel tired and kind of bored. Well, pray anyway. Our prayer doesn't depend upon feelings, but prayer depends upon goodwill, that we really want to give God our best, even though we don't feel like it at times. Okay, next. Daily prayers, your rosary, acts of mercy. And we really try to promote mercy in this parish, and that can be praying for someone. Say a kind word. Help someone through some good action. Penance every Friday. You know, every Friday you have to do some type of penance. Like give up something. I know what you're thinking. On Friday, I'm going to give up going to school. No, you can't do that though, okay? Give up something you like to eat. Give up a computer game. Give up fighting with your younger brother. Uh-oh. You're going to say, I have no problem with that because I don't have a younger brother, right? I can see you. Well, give up fighting with your older sister. That's harder, right? What?
I don't see her.
I don't see her. Well, that's easy not to fight if you don't see her, right? Out of sight, out of mind, right? Okay. Well, Friday you can don't eat meat. Remember when as a kid one of my friends said, hey, we can't eat meat on Friday, let's get pizza. That's defeating purpose because pizza is even better than meat. You want to give up something that you like because on Friday, who died on Friday? Jesus Christ. So he suffered on the cross on Friday. We should be willing to suffer something for him. Okay. Dress code. The students are to dress modestly and behave in a manner that is respectful of the house of God. No offensive messages of any kind on clothing are allowed. This includes diabolical and death images. It's pretty common among people to have the, as they say in the Spanish, La Calavera. You got the skull. You got the crossbones. That's wrong. It'd be great if they could all have an image of Our Lady Guadalupe and Divine Mercy. We get that as a. I once had that in First Communion Catechism. Kind of cool, huh? Right. Coming in a T-shirt with Divine Mercy, then Our Lady Guadalupe. That's good. And you can go to school with that, right? And then the student would say, "Hey, what's that shirt you have?" Then you could catechize them. You could talk to them about God. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Okay, no sports shorts are allowed for the boys. No earrings of any kind are allowed. And for the girls, the only earrings allowed should be on their ears. If the dress is immodest, they have to go into the office and to call their parents. Okay, now there are these mini retreats. There's going to be a chastity retreat Saturday, October the 28th. Then on the 2nd, there's going to be a pro-life presentation. And on March 10th, there will be a vocation mini-retreat. Then a confirmation retreat. So those are the retreats. Other activities, there are going to be a chastity promise. And that's really cool because we're going to be trying to prepare you to live out the virtue of chastity. On December 12th, there's going to be a special mass in the church in honor of Lady Guadalupe. And we're going to be giving you, it'll either be a ring or a special cross as a sign of your wanting to live a life of chastity. Now, community service hours. The two things you might be able to do is that in the First Communion, the little kids have exams about four times a year. You can take the little kids and give them their First Communion exams. No? Just hope that you know more than them. That's the problem, right? All these questions, you're testing them. You're scratching your head and say, "I don't even know that," and I'm testing this little kid. Ah!
Some of them do very well.
Yeah, some of them they're pretty sharp. Yeah. Hey, you're the teacher, but you know less than them, okay? That's why we're here, right? We're here this year, learned a lot, so we can be able to go beyond the little kids, okay? Another way to carry out the service hours is Monday, there we have a poor program in which they bag food. And I think we'll have to ask at the office, and I think they start about 4:30, 5 o'clock, and you do that for about an hour and a half. So if you do that five times, you already have your service hours. Okay, on the back, you have it in Spanish so that your parents can read that. And then, I'd like to ask you a favor, Paul, if you could maybe just finish the class and you can maybe give them out their syllabus. And then you can also do the roll call, and then I'll see you guys next week, okay? So God bless, and have a great week. We'll see you at Mass on Sunday, okay? Bye.